yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I give thanks. Thank you for loving kindness, for your tender mercies. Thank you for the opportunity one more time on this Sunday morning to worship, to praise, to serve you, giving thanks for all that you brought me through, worshiping you for who you are. That if you never do anything for me the rest of my life, I will still thank you. I will still praise you, because you've done a lot already. Thank you for all that you've done. I give you thanks in advance for all that you are doing and for all that you shall do. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I arrest and block the voice of the whisperer, that the enemy will not whisper into my ear, into my thoughts. He will not whisper. I interrupt him. In the name of Jesus, I interrupt any manipulation, any claims, any demands to take me out of this place where you planted me. By any means, by any effort, by any determination, by any oath or vow of the enemy, in the name of Jesus, let it be canceled and interrupted in the name of Jesus. Now let the word of the Lord have a free course. Let the oil that breaks every yoke break my yoke, lift up my burdens, destroy my shackles, loose me, set me free like never before, in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together, for the shout of the King is in the house. Before you are seated, can you just take a step away from where you are standing and just let there be a lifting up for all the sons and daughters of Zion. Let there be a lifting up for the sons and daughters of this house. Let there be a lifting up for this nation in the name of Jesus. Bishop, do you have the different storms of 2017? I want you to hear something. And then if you have it on the screen, I would like you to put the different storm on the screen. I want you to see something and hear something. 2017 has been a very interesting year. If you have a pen, you can write it down. But take note of this, so you never take for granted. You never take for granted. When I say put your hands together, praise God, open your mouth, say something, you never ever sit and be quiet and be all together. It offends God when you see what has happened to others. And like in Sierra Leone, almost 1,000 people lost their lives and died. And you are still here, breathing. You don't even have a headache, not even a high blood pressure, not even a mosquito bite. And you can't put your hands together and open your mouth and say something. Hey! Listen. Here. Take note of this. Listen to this.
Some of the storms of 2017. Mm-hmm. In Sierra Leone, a mudslide struck one Monday morning. The loss of lives is up to 6. Mudslide struck Sierra Leone an early Monday morning. 600 people are still missing. Over 400 are dead. Nepal, India, and Bangladesh. Floods killed approximately 1,200 this year. Houston, Hurricane Harvey, 82 people dead with massive destruction. Then in Florida, massive destruction, 2 million people are still without power. The Caribbean, 38 people dead and a total devastation. Puerto Rico, 1 million are still without power. In Cuba, 10 people are dead as a result of a storm. In Mexico, 8.1 magnitude earthquake, 96 people dead. And in North Korea, etc. US, Japan, and South Korea's aggression is still on, and nobody yet knows how it will end.
You know, I hope that we'll have this pictures on the screen before we close, so you can see the devastation that has happened to so many countries and people like you and I taken out and destroyed. In one island in the Caribbean, they have evacuated the entire island. People went to bed and they were fine. They had so much liquid money. They had money in the bank. They woke up the next morning, their money and the bank has disappeared. Every record that proves that they have money in the bank has disappeared. Their houses, their businesses, their cars have disappeared. An island has been evacuated. No human being, dogs, animals, nothing in the island. There's not even birds flying in the air. The whole island is wiped out. Turn to somebody and say, and you are complaining? You are complaining. You see, sometimes, thank God I'm not God. Because if I was God, that's why I'm not God. Amen. Tell somebody, you really don't have a problem. You really don't have a problem. You think you do, but you really don't have a problem. Because if you look at what others are dealing with compared to your situation, you really don't have a problem. And I think Ghanaians, we complain too much. I really believe so. I think Ghanaians, we are very ungrateful people. We complain about cheese, eggs, fried rice. We complain about everything. We're never satisfied about anything. We're not grateful about it. We even complain about church and God. We're even angry with God. And yet, if you look at the different deliverances we've experienced this year as a people, a country, and a nation, compared to what is going on in other countries around us, we owe it to God. I am indebted to God forever. I don't know about, but I am. I want to talk to you about deliverance in the midst of the storm. I wanted to go courage in the midst of the storm, and it's great to be courageous in the midst of the storm, but it sounds like you are being courageous. But in the midst of storm, you need more than courage. You need deliverance. Turn to two people and say, you need deliverance. Deliverance. You need escape. Somebody say escape. Escape. Psalm 34 and the 19th verse. Psalm 34 and the 19th verse.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Many are the afflictions of the unrighteous. Is that what the Bible says? You see, one of the problems with believers is this. When we face crisis or we are going through affliction, because it is designed for you to doubt God and doubt your faith, because you can't understand why you should go through affliction when you are doing the right thing. The righteous are those who are committed to do the right thing. They do right. Tell somebody, I know you do right. I know you do right. I know you do right. You see, and so that is where your problem is. You can't understand why you should be afflicted or suffer affliction or go through affliction when you are doing right. If you are doing wrong, you can understand. You can handle it. But you can't understand and handle affliction when you are doing right. And then he didn't say few are the affliction of those who do right. He said many are the afflictions of the righteous. That is where your problem is and my problem is. But every now and then, if you're going to do right and be righteous according to God's standards and demands, you will have to deal with some kind of an affliction here or there every now and then. It is critical. It's part of the walk. You can't run away from it. And the fact that you are doing right and you are righteous does not mean you will not go through affliction. But there is deliverance in the mix of the affliction. In the mix of the storm, God has promised and has guaranteed your deliverance and my deliverance. If you believe it, put your hands together and shout yes. Many, many affliction comes to test our faith. Affliction comes to reveal to you and I our faith in God, where we stand in God and in life. And it's also designed by the adversary to cause you to doubt God and doubt your faith and possibly doubt yourself. Affliction can do that to you. It can make you question God. It can make you question your faith, question the word, question everything about you, and make you doubt God and doubt your faith and doubt yourself. If God be with us, why should all of these things happen? And if you look at people in the Bible that walked with God, served God, and were subjected and went through all kinds of affliction, but the fact of the matter was that in the mix of the affliction, there was deliverance. And you must look out for your deliverance instead of focusing on the affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. May I prophesy to you this morning by divine authority that you are coming out of that situation. That you are coming out of that situation. Now come with me to Isaiah 43 and verse 2. 43 and verse 2.
When thou passest through the waters.
The waters. I
will be with thee.
I will be with you. God said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. For thou dost prepare me a table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So God said, in the mix of the waters, not water, waters, plural, many, he promised us his presence. He said, I'll be with you. He said, I'm right there beside you. I'm on your side. I'm in your corner. You don't see me, but I'm there. Go ahead, number two.
And through the rivers.
They
shall not overflow
thee. A river, but what? Rivers, plural. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many waters, many rivers. Go ahead.
They shall not overflow thee.
They shall not overflow you. Three.
When thou walkest through the fire.
Through the fire. Fire. All these things are extremes current. Extreme currents. The water, the river, now the fire. Extremes. And God said, none of these things that are deployed to hurt you or to destroy you has the power to do so. He said they don't have the mandate. Say, no water, no river, no fire, no flame has the capacity or the mandate to destroy me. For I am the redeemer of the Lord. You got to understand these four elements here. Go ahead.
When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned.
You will not be burned. Tell somebody you will not be burned. You will not be burned. Tell two people, your family will not be burned. Your business will not be burned. Your finances will not be burned. Your life will not be burned. Your future will not be burned. You will not be burned. It was designed to destroy you, but you will not be destroyed. If you believe that, put your hands together. Give me a shout. You see, you can so go through it without being able to shout anymore. Don't lose your shout. Tell somebody, don't lose your shout. You need a shout. Sometimes me, I shout. Are you hearing me? Sometimes I shout. I shout in the bathroom. I shout in my office. I shout in different places. And sometimes people look at me as if, what is wrong with him? I just shout. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes I can't help it but to shout. Because if I don't shout, it's like I'm losing it. Have you been in a place where it's like you are losing your mind? Hey! Listen. Listen. Me, I don't shout. I shout. Hey! 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 You know what I'm doing? Clearing my mind. Mental bombardment. Threatenings. You got to learn how to intimidate the enemy too. Don't just let him intimidate you and you sit down there. Tell somebody, this is not the end of your life. This is not the end of your life. You will not be burned. You will not drown. This river will not carry you into destruction. There is a way out. There is deliverance in the midst of the storm. If you believe it, somebody put your hands together. Give God a shout. Amen. He talks about the waters, the rivers, the fire, and there's another thing.
Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
The flame. There are different types and kinds of fire. There are some people, they are going through fire. They are sitting next to you. They are going through some kind or type of a fire, but you can't tell. Because the charcoal fire don't have flame. Even pressing iron is fire. Hot, no flame. So it's burning, but you can't tell because there's no flame. And there are other fires that comes with a flame. So everybody sees that, hey, this one is going through fire because of the flame. But there are other fires nobody can tell except the one that is in the fire. Except the one that is going through the fire. But I came to prophesy, it doesn't matter what the fire is. Whether people see it or they don't see it. Whether it has flame or it has no flame, it will not burn on you. You will not be burned. There is deliverance in the midst of the fire. You are coming out in the name of Jesus unburned. If you believe it, clap your hands and give me some shout in the house. You see? Hear me? The enemy thought that you are just going to come to church and sit down there so depressed and quiet, can't do anything, and the whole church is quiet like somebody is dead and we are having a funeral service. We are having any funeral service. We are celebrating the victory. We are celebrating the victory. Is anybody hearing me? Open your mouth and give God some praise in the house. You know, I know that some of you, you are waiting for the breakthrough to happen. You are waiting for the victory to come so you can tell the whole world and you can praise the Lord and you can shout. But before a wedding takes place, they come for a rehearsal and they are told what to do on the day of the wedding. They teach them how to walk, what to do, what to say, and they play the organ and they will practice it first. So they walk down the aisle and you hear ting, 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 ting. Is anybody hearing me? Before they play that song on the wedding day, they have already heard it already. Before they hear that song, that victory song, that glorious tune and sound, they have already heard it before. You want the breakthrough. You want victory. You got to practice it before it comes. I still don't hear you. You are sitting down. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. If you believe it, you will do something. Put your hands together. Give God a praise and a shout. Say it. Sit down for 2 minutes. You know, the only thing that deals with heaviness or oppression or depression is the garment of praise. The Bible said, beauty for ashes, the garment of praise to deal with the spirit of heaviness. That's the only thing. So when you are heavy, when you are discouraged, when you feel down or oppressed, or you begin to experience this feeling of grief. Sometimes I'll just be there and it's a strong wave of grief. I feel grief and nothing is wrong with me. And it's like the thing is heavy and you can't shake it off. And nothing is wrong. Everything is okay. But you just feel sudden grief and a feeling of sadness and sorrow. It's a spirit of heaviness that is coming upon you, to exert on you. Immediately, I shout, hey! 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 Jemaya, Jemaya, Yesu, Bami! Get up! You can look at me and call me any name you want to call me. I don't care. It works for me. So you sit down there and be cute. You never see a woman go into a labor ward and the baby is coming, she's in pain, she's agonizing, and she says, I'm a lady. I don't feel it. I'm a lady. You are lying. You will feel it. I've been to labor ward several times. See very dignified ladies in there and they do some strange things. And you can sit down there and look very dignified, but the fact of the matter is that you are going through some kind of a fire. And I came to assure you that if you are a child of God, whatever the fire is, there is deliverance in the mix of the fire. So here it talks about water, river. You see, the water, the river, was not designed to destroy you. Water represents life. God created a river. It contains fishes and so many good things for the good of mankind. But the devil is a counterfeiter. He saw what God did in the days of Noah, and God made a vow and a promise never to destroy the world with water again. But the devil said, okay, you ain't going to destroy the world with water, but I'll destroy the part of the world. So Satan will deploy and engage the very things God has created for our good to hurt us and to destroy us is an indirect way of getting at God whenever he hurts those who God cares for and God loves. And God loves us, for God so loved that he gave. He loves us. So the enemy will always use the creation of God to hurt humanity. And that is his job. But God said, I promise you that I will not, in the mix of the fire, the river, to take you away, the waters to drown you, I will not allow you to be destroyed. You will experience deliverance in the mix of the storm, in the mix of the river. Psalm 66 verse 12.
Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads.
Man has ridden over our head, but no more. Say no more, no more. Come on, talk to me. Say no more. It happened in the past, but it ain't going to happen anymore. Are you hearing me, somebody? If anybody thinks they rode over our head in the past and it's going to happen again, it's a lie. Somebody say, na lie, na lie. I'm sorry to be using some of those clue English, but it sometimes you have to say it as it is. Na lie. Say, na lie. Someone said, the devil is a liar. It's not going to happen. Nobody is going to ride over our head anymore. Ain't going, like the American says, ain't going to happen. Tell somebody, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Go ahead, look at something.
We went through fire and through water.
Again, we went through what?
Fire.
And what?
Water.
Singular, singular. We went through fire. And we went through water.
But thou broughtest us
out. Stop there. He didn't say we got stuck in the fire and we got stuck in the water. He said we went through the fire. I prophesy that you will go through this situation. I prophesy you will go through this water, you will go through this fire, you will not be drowned, and you will not be burnt. And if you believe it, say yes. You know, I've never seen expansion growth in the place of ease or comfort. Can I say it again? I've never seen growth. I've never seen expansion. I've never seen multiplication and progress in the place of ease and the place of comfort. It's always in the place of discomfort that you see expansion come and you see growth and increase. Every breakthrough I've had over the years in life and in ministry was at the place of discomfort. And when a woman is about to deliver, she's not in the place of comfort. She come to a place of great discomfort and pain. But it's in that moment, it's at that moment of her life that a woman experiences a breakthrough. If you want a breakthrough for the next level, for the next dimension, and for the next place you are going, ladies and gentlemen, God will allow a situation of discomfort to get you away from where you are to the next dimension. Whenever I feel a discomfort, know that a particular season of my life has ended and God is about to take me to another season of my life. Are you hearing me? I was telling one of my pastors yesterday and I said, I'm not going to always be standing here preaching for 40 years, always being in the pulpit. That is not what I want to do. There are other things I can do for God in the ministry, bigger and greater than always standing in this same pulpit Sunday after Sunday, when I can stand at stadiums and at big, mega, mega buildings across Africa, Asia, United States, and Europe, and places to impact lives. There are things I can do more than every Sunday coming to stand here to try to encourage people who don't even want to hear me and they don't even want to see me, because you can tell by the way they look at you. They sit down there, look at you, perform. We are not impressed. Where is he coming from? What is he up to? Where I can go to places, before even I open my mouth, they are screaming. Before even I open my mouth, they are standing on their feet. They are clapping. I'm not talking to you. That's why you are sitting down. So don't worry. You don't have to clap. I'm fine. Listen. So I was telling you, I said there are so many places I can go. So many things I can do all over the world. And so this discomfort and this uneasiness I'm feeling, they are indicators that you have to move to the next level. You've stayed at this level for too long. Step up. Come up hither. Somebody say, come up hither. Say, deep calls unto deep. That's it. So whenever you find yourself in the place of discomfort, and you feel this uneasiness, they are divine indicators that a season of your life has ended and God is getting ready to move you to a new season of life. And that is what you are feeling, that uneasiness, that discomfort. Even your sleeping pattern changes. I've watched it. In different seasons of my life, my sleeping pattern changes. Yeah. Sometimes I can go on years sleeping for just 4 hours. Sometimes 5 hours. Sometimes 6. Sometimes 7 hours. And during all that time, there are different seasons. And every season comes with its own demand. And the demands are different from the past and the other seasons. You got to be flexible. You have to understand the dealings of God and the way God deals with us. That in the midst of the storm, God promises deliverance. Go ahead. Psalm 66 verse 12 again.
But thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Yeah. We went through the fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
You are coming into a wealthy place. And when we talk about wealth, it's not just referring to money or material blessings. The money and the material things are part of it. But it's talking about having wealth in experience, wealth in wisdom, wealth in understanding, wealth in knowledge, wealth in character, developing wealth in your behavior, in your attitude towards God and how you deal with man. So it's not just material wealth. You are coming to a place of true wealth, maturity. You've been tested like gold in the fire. He said he knows the way that I go. And when he had tried me, I will come forth as gold. My God, if only you can see the end result of what you are going through, you will stand. If only you can understand that this is not to kill you. This is not to destroy you. This is not to take you out prematurely. But this is adding up to the training and where God is taking you to. And that, understand that your level of preparation and training determines your placement in what the future holds. Let me explain that. Soldiers have different categories. A ranger, a Navy SEAL, a commando is different from the ordinary soldier in the army. And it's the training they are subjected to, the disciplines, the preparations, is what determine their ranks and their placement and position. If you are going to be able to withstand the storms and the challenges of life, if you can take the pressure and the stress of the weight of the glory that is ahead of you, then you must develop a capacity that causes you to be calm and still in the midst of the storm. If you don't know how to be calm in the midst of the storm, if you haven't learned and you haven't developed capacity for the leadership, and for the future, what is meant to be a blessing can become a curse and eventually destroy you. I see a lot of people in the position of leadership. They can't take pressure. They can't. They have bad judgment. And it's more to, hey! Yeah! They get offended. They are hurt. They are angry. You are a baby. You are not qualified. I don't want anybody who cries around me. I'm telling you. My staff will tell you. Crisis comes. Something happens. You are confronted. You cry. You get hurt. You get offended. You are out. Out. You are not stepping into my office again. I can't deal with babies. At this time of my life and age, I can't change diapers. I don't have anointing to change diapers. I don't want diapers. Now you can call me any name you want to. I don't have the grace and the anointing to change diapers. So I don't want any diaper person around me. I can't change it. So if you are the kind who can handle hardship, you can't endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and you are the kind and the type offended over everything, hurt over everything, angry over everything, won't read your Bible, won't pray, won't come to work, won't come to church because you're offended, you are hurt. Please, I love you from afar, but I don't love you close. I will love you high. I'll pray for you, Father, help her. Help him in the name of Jesus. Give him grace. Give her grace. But block him and block her from getting close to me. Simple. And I change my phone. I change my numbers. I change my numbers a lot. The number I have right now is about my 8th number. I change. As soon as you cry, you get hurt, you get offended, I block you. I change my number quickly. I just switch. I have too many things to do and too many sermons to preach, too many books to write, too many important things to pray about to be focusing on a baby. I can't change diapers. And there are a lot of diapers babies in the church because they don't want to go through anything. Now hear me. I told somebody something yesterday. I said, I have realized by experience that it is better to be kind than to be right. And I'll tell you why. A lot of people think that I sit on money. I'm blessed in my own way. But it's not like a lot of people think. But I'm not also going to tell you I don't have. I went to a place and some people were talking in Ahusa. And they said, hey, Charlie, this man is loaded. Oh, this man, he has deep pocket. And when I heard it, I said, ami, oh, ami. I didn't say contrary. You are saying good things about me. And you want me to say it's not true. No. I accept it. You are prophesying. But watch this. You got to understand how these things work. Whenever you are offended, it's because you feel you've been wrong. And whenever you feel you are wrong, it means you are right. You are right to feel the way you are feeling. The reason why people get upset and angry and you try to talk and you can't change them. And they say in Chief, ye patanoa on take unto me patano. Doesn't matter how much you convince, they won't change. They are angry because they feel justified. They feel they have the right to be angry. Number two, when people are hurt, they feel they have the right to be hurt. When they're offended, they feel they have the right to be offended. And because of that, they refuse to be kind. But you know what? I've come to realize over the years that to be kind is better than to be right. Because one of the things I have that so many people don't have and don't know, I have something you call goodwill. And I have goodwill with a lot of strange people. And God always gives me opportunity to show people kindness. There are two African countries right now. This year and next year, they are going through their elections. These two countries, the potential next presidents, I've met them. But people don't know they'll be president. And I've already met them. One was in my office last week, and I prayed with them, and I blessed them, and I get in touch with them, and I send them prayers. And the two of them, they will be president, because I've met the others, and I know the one that will become president. Very simple. Hear me. In Ghana here, in the next 8 years, whoever will become president, I know. And I won't tell you. Because you can't take it. You can't take it. I won't tell you. But if the person who will become president in the next 8 years will listen, and not listen to all these sycophants who will be blowing their horns, and just listen to divine direction, it's simple. You know why it's simple? Let me give you an analogy. Very simple. You give me an offering for that. From the Fourth Republic, no political party has gone more than 8 years. Then look at America and look at Nigeria. No political party goes past 8 years. If people have common sense and humility, all they have to do is to watch the timing and wait for the wind like the eagle for their time. And when the season is right, it doesn't take much effort. But people won't listen. I'll stop there. Read through it, you politicians. They won't listen. There's no need to fight, spend money, insult anybody, sabotage anybody. Just prepare yourself for your season and wait. You can't go against history. That's the problem, people. They want to change history. You can't change it. The reason why things keep happening, we don't learn from history. My God, you learning something? Yeah. I hear you. Psalm 23, verse 4.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Why?
For thou art with me.
You see? Again. You are with me. Go ahead.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
What does that mean? It means that even in the midst of the storm, you'll be comforted. That you can be comforted. You can still have comfort in the midst of the storm. Goodness me. I deal with issues. I go to, as I'm standing here, you have no idea the things I deal with. And there are different kinds of storms in life. Family storms, financial storms, national storms, political storms, economic storms, health storms, relational storms. There are all kinds of storms and all kinds of fire. What matters is not the storm, nor the fire, but it's how you respond to it. It's how you respond in the midst of the storm that determines, and it tells God a lot about who you are. It tells God whether you have faith in him or not, depending on how you respond to God and the storm during the time of the storm and the fire. In Genesis 15, he said, your descendants, and at that time, he had no child, shall go into captivity for 400 years. And after 400 years, I will bring them out from captivity with great substance or wealth. So it is not what you are going through, but it's what you come up with. What you come out with. So come out with something. Come out better than you got into it. I declare that at the end of this storm and fire and water and river, you'll be better than before. Your faith will be stronger than when you got into it. You'll be more anointed than you were in the past. This is not to destroy you, but it is to build your faith and give you a better understanding and an experience with God. If you believe it, put your hands together and shout. Now, quickly, Acts 27, 14 and 15, and 21 to 26. Acts chapter 27, 14 and 15.
But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon.
This was unexpected. It was unforeseen. Every unexpected and unforeseen storm, wind and crisis ahead of us between now and 31st December, let it be interrupted. You didn't hear me. I said, let it be interrupted. Let it be arrested. Let it be averted. Say, unexpected, unexpected, unforeseen challenges, crisis, as I put my hands together, are interrupted now. Open your mouth. Pray that prayer right now. Unexpected. Unforeseen. We block it. We arrest it. We interrupt it. Let it be averted. Let it be averted. Let it be suspended. We repel it. We repel unexpected winds, storms, tempests. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, Jesus said, Jesus, I'll be talking to you about divine protocols. There are protocols. And one of the problems in the church, the reason for a lot of offenses and confusion in the church is because of the lack of understanding about divine protocols. People don't understand protocols in the church. There is a way and a manner, a methodology of the way God does his things and the way the house of God operates. And if you don't understand that, you always run into problems with God, with the men of God, with the church. You always have a problem if you don't understand the protocol of the house of God. There are protocols. There are family protocols. The man is the head of the wife. Jesus is the head of the man. It's a protocol. You break that protocol, there will be problems. And you can quote all the scriptures you want to quote. Prophesy as much as you want to. Make all the declaration. It's not going to change anything. When you go against, when you are in violation of divine protocol, you give the enemy an advantage. There are protocol in the way things must be handled or things are done in the house of God. If somebody offends you, there is a protocol. How to go about it. If you don't follow that protocol, you are in violation of the word of God. There are protocols. When you are offended, when you are hurt, when you are angry, there is a protocol. You don't follow that protocol, it doesn't matter what, you will fail. Simple. We must understand protocols. We'll deal with that, God willing, next week. But I want you to understand this, that Jesus said, pray, and he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This here is evil. It's temptation, unexpected, unforeseen. It hits you suddenly, unexpected, takes you at unawares. But I pray between now and 31st December, let nothing take us at unawares. Let nothing take your business, your family, your health, your life at unawares. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Any programming in the womb of time, any demonic conception, pregnancy, agenda or plan in the womb of time and in the womb of the enemy between now and 31st December to take us at unawares, to hit us, to hurt us, to destroy or to kill, we interrupt as we put our hands together in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, say something. Amen. Please be seated for 2 minutes. Acts 27:21-26.
But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete.
You should have hearkened unto me. See, sometimes the problem with folks in the church is they don't listen. They don't listen for whatever reason. we are very confident. We get so confident sometimes with our own skills and our achievement and our successes and our connections and our family background and who we are and where we come from and who we know and how well we've done and all those craziness. So many a times we don't listen to common instruction. Paul had warned them before the journey began that, hey, I perceive that there is a storm in the womb of time coming. And they didn't listen. Why? Because he was a prisoner. And sometimes when you yourself are going through difficult situations and you try to warn and to caution others, they'll just look at you and say, hey, you, you are trying to prophesy. You prophesy to yourself. Yeah, many a times that's what happened. The vessel that is bringing the message itself is going through challenges. So it's difficult to listen to the person. So they won't listen to Paul. If they had listened, it would have been, but they didn't listen. And when it happened, Paul was not angry with them. Paul said, you should have listened to me. I told you. But because I was in chains and I was a prisoner, you won't listen. However, go ahead.
Says,
see, the attitude here also is for you pastors and leaders and all of you. When you have cautioned people about something and they don't listen, when it happened, that is not also the time where you said, I told you. Didn't I tell you? Incredible. Man can't tell. Eh? That's not the time. When people are down, that's not the time to pick on them. You wait when they are back on their feet, then you tell them, hey, you didn't listen the other time. You better listen this time. But even that, you have to handle it with a lot of grace. And that's why I said, I have learned over the years that it is better to be kind than to be right. Because I've shown kindness to people who were nothing and nobody. People who nobody will help them. I helped them. I showed them kindness. Even when they didn't deserve kindness. And later on, that kindness became a goodwill that I could call. I go to nations, all over. Nations, not just here, all over. And I arrive at the airport and you see the army, police, everybody. Paul will tell you, and police, army, they will just come to pick me when we come out. And some of the Ghanaians will be looking at me and say, hey, this man, pick me through and take me through VIPs and go through the highway straight to the office of the president of those countries. Some of the people I try, they'll tell you. They'll say, papa, papa. And they don't know how it was done. It was a kindness I showed somebody long. Listen, there's a guy who came to see me last week. His father was a former president of a nation here in Africa. He comes to Ghana for vacation. Every time he comes to see me, and I'll give him money and I'll bless him. His father may never become a president anymore, but he was a president before he was my friend. I help his son every time. He comes around and says, my dad said hi, and I'll bless him. You know that boy? I don't know who he'll become. The other thing is, his father will call other people and say, you know, Archbishop Duncan Williams is very kind, has been very kind to my son. Sometimes I can call him and say, I'm going to this country. Can you please talk to the president there, to talk to the Minister of Security, to give me some protection whilst I'm in the city? Sometimes I go into countries and they'll put security at the hotel, at my floor. You see security, then people will be asking, when I'm coming into the lift, the security will be blocking. I say, oh, let them come. I feel very embarrassed. I want to be humble. You see what I'm saying? It's good to be humble. Even when you are enjoying the thing, you must show some humility. Did I say that? Yeah, but you see, in the mix of the enjoying the blessings, you must also be humble. You know, you don't deserve it all. We don't deserve anything. It's just mercy. So sometimes, you know, even when you are walking, I mean, I've seen people at the airport here, you know, ordinary people like you and I, and they get some small position, and you should see them when we meet at the airport. They are walking, and I just look at them and say, hey, take it easy. We've seen the mighty falling. How are the mighty falling? Mpacho broke all bro. Even when Asante Hini is walking, I mean, those are powerful people. They say, Nana bo, Nana bro, Nana bro, Nana TMY, Nana bro, Nana boko, boko, TMU boko, and then they can see it, boko. Go ahead. This was a terrible storm. It destroyed the entire boat. Go ahead, listen.
And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship.
You see, he said, there will be no loss of any life in the ship because of me. But the ship will be destroyed because you didn't listen. You lose everything, but your life will be spared. Is your life not precious and better than things? Go ahead.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am
and whom I serve. I love this one. This is one of my best scriptures in the whole Bible. Whom I serve and whom I am. I love that. Go ahead.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore says, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer. This is where I was taking the title of my message from.
For I believe
in the, that is what it means. Be courageous. Courage is a mix of the storm. But I feel like deliverance is better than the courage, because so many people are going through things and nobody knows about it. But whatever it is, you don't have to tell me. I'm prophesying and enforcing your deliverance. I'm declaring as the father of this house by the grace of God that your deliverance is at hand. That you will not be destroyed through this situation. That you will come out. You know, when Archbishop Margaret Idahosa came here a few years ago, those were difficult times of my life, and she looked at me and she said, son, you don't look like somebody who has been through what you've been through. He said, I don't look like somebody who has been through something. Can I prophesy to you? By the time God is finished with you, you won't look like anyone that has been through anything. Your business will not look like anyone that has taken a hit. Your finances will be intact. Your health will be intact. Your local and international contacts will be intact. Your reputation will be intact. You will not look like anyone that has been through anything. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, put your hands together and shout. Sit down. You remember the three Hebrew young men? The three Hebrew young men. They came out of the fire. They came out of the phoenix of fire as if nothing had happened. No smell of smoke. There will be no smell of smoke on you after you come out of this situation. I'm prophesying, you know. And I don't have to say, if I be a man of God, I don't have to do those yeah things. I'm just telling you, by experience of 40 years with God, on the token of the spirit of prophecy, I prophesy over your life and your family that by the time you come through, there will be no smell of smoke, that you have been through fire, that you have been through any fire or crisis or anything. There will be no sign that you've been through something. The only sign people will see is victory. They will see triumph. They will see an upper hand. They will see blessings. They will see a weight of glory. They will see the hand of God at work in your life. If you believe it, put your hands together, shout, yeah. You know, finish quickly.
Wherefore says, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.
Do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe what I'm telling you? He said, be courageous, for it shall be even as it was told me. Do you believe that it will be unto you even as it's been told you? I'm prophesying to you, if only thou believe, you will see the glory of God. If only you believe, you will see deliverance. If only you believe, this week, beginning from today, you will see a way out. If you believe, put your hands together, shout, I believe. Job chapter 1 verse 19.
And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
You see, again, God created the wind. Again, God created the wind. A wind is a good thing, but the enemy deploys it. One of the prayers I want us to pray today, and on Wednesday, we're going to be going through teaching of the second phase of this message. But we also want to fast and pray. And one of the things we'll do when we go through the teachings and come to prayer is to deal with things that are to be a blessing that the enemy has turned into a curse. The wind was created by God for the good of man. But the enemy deploys the same thing that is supposed to be for your good to hurt you. And anything that is to be a blessing, any part of creation, the elements of the heavens, whatever the enemy has engaged and has deployed to hurt us, to destroy us, between now and the end of this year, in any shape or form, by divine authority, let it be interrupted. Let it be arrested. Let it be averted. Any unforeseen, Job didn't see it. Any unexpected, say any unforeseen, any unexpected, sudden attack, sudden wind, rushing wind, anything engage, anything deploy, anything summons to hurt me, my family, my house, this nation, by divine authority, let it be interrupted, let it be arrested, and declare I will not lose any of my children. I will not lose a loved one between now and the end of the year. Put your hands together. Declare, rebuke the wind, rebuke the tempest, rebuke temptation, rebuke evil, rebuke unforeseen, rebuke unexpected. Bind it in the name of Jesus. Interrupt evil news. Interrupt it. Open your mouth. Put your hands together. Arrest it. Interrupt it. Block it. Seize it in the name of Jesus. Avert it now. Amen. Stand on your feet. In closing, let's go to Psalm 91 together. In closing, Psalm 91. It's a scripture we must pray every day of this year, till the end of this year. We must pray Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So let's start from verse 1. Everybody lift up your right hand. Make a proclamation. Go ahead. One, two, go.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Say, I will abide. I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And I will say of the Lord, I say of the Lord, I say, that is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I. Go ahead.
Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler.
Put your name there. He shall deliver me, Nicholas Duncan Williams.
And from the noise of pestilence.
You put your name there. It's a prayer. It's a declaration. Go ahead.
He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night,
nor for the arrow that flieth
by Say, day. I rebuke any terror by night in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every terror by night. I rebuke every arrow that flieth by day. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness.
Say, I rebuke every pestilence in the darkness. I rebuke it. Or the destruction.
Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noon.
Say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel destruction. Every destruction that wasted at noonday, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
A thousand shall fall at my side.
Say, I declare a thousand of my accusers and adversaries shall fall at my side. And 10,000, yea, shall fall on my right hand. It shall not come near me. It shall not come. It's not coming. No plague, no harm, no evil, no pain, no hurt shall come near me.
Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward.
Say, only with my eyes, I will see the salary of the wicked. Their rewards shall come upon them for the evil they devise against me. For devising my head, it shall turn on them, and I will see it here in the land of the living when it happens. It's just a matter of time. Tell somebody, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee.
Can you declare there shall no evil? Say, no evil shall befall me, this house, my house, or my nation. No plague shall come near my dwelling, nor this house, nor this nation. No plague. There shall no evil befall me. No misfortune shall befall me or this house or my nation.
For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways.
Say, I engage and deploy in the name of Jesus the assistance, the services of his angels in the name of Jesus.
They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Say, in the name of Jesus, I engage and deploy angelic undertaking, angelic undercadence, that I will not slip, I will not stumble, I will not fall. In the name of Jesus, I won't miss my steps. In the name of Jesus. My God. Go ahead.
Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Say, I tread under my feet. I tread under my feet. Every beast, I tread under my feet. Spiritual host of wickedness. Say, I bruise the head of the serpent. Let the head of the serpent be bruised by the authority of the word of God.
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name.
Say, I command my deliverance. I command my deliverance. And I command my exaltation. Say, I decree my promotion, my exaltation, my lift, my raise, according to the scriptures, in the name of Jesus. Declare it right now. Put your hands together. Command your deliverance. Command your deliverance. I command my deliverance. I command my deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
He shall call upon me and I will answer him.
Yes.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
You see, I'll be with him in trouble. Again, you are not alone. You are not alone. I said you are not alone. You are not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. In all my troubles, the Lord is with me. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. In all my troubles, the Lord is with me. I'm not alone. I sing it myself. It's a prayer. I sing it all by myself. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Yeah, Nicholas is not alone. In all my trials, the Lord is with me. I'm not alone. Hear me. I don't sing in the choir. I don't need Ife to help me sing. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Yeah, in all my trials, the Lord is with me. I'm not alone. I'm singing to myself. I'm telling me I'm not alone. Yeah, I'm not alone. Yeah, in all my journeys, the Lord is with me. I'm not alone.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him
long life, long life, long life. Receive long life. Say, I receive long life and salvation. Say, I will not die prematurely, but with long life, I will enjoy the salvation of the Lord. With long life, that is your portion. I'm not alone. I'm not alone in all my journey. The Lord is with me. I'm not alone. Can everybody hum it now?
I'm not alone.
In all my journey, the Lord is with me. I'm not alone. Amen.